ॐ शांति। वेलकम बैक टू ज्ञान सरोवर आफ्टर अ वीक्स स्टे इन शांतिवन। सो यू आर इन द यूनिवर्सिटी। शांतिवन इज लाइक द यूनिवर्सिटी, ह्यूज, एंड ज्ञान सरोवर इज लाइक a college, and Pandav Bhavan like a school. So from school to college to university, that's the feeling. Or sometimes we say Pandav Bhavan is like father's home, and Gyan Sarovar like teacher's home, and Shantivan like the Satguru's home, unlimited. So welcome back to the teacher's home, to Gyan Sarovar. And I'm going to revise the Murli, though Mohini Ben of New York revised it the other day, but I will do it in a different way. Baba gives us so much love whenever Baba speaks the Murli. He first of all gives all the vibrations of love to the children. So this is how Baba starts every Murli. As Baba is the ocean of love, he is also the ocean of knowledge. But what comes first, love or knowledge? What comes first? Love. See, when the yajna started, it was only love. Knowledge wasn't understood that well. It wasn't taken in the deep way as we take it now. But it was love which pulled the children towards Baba. And they dedicated themselves, surrendered their lives, without thinking about anything else. They didn't think what their future would be. They were so young. How would they live? You know, so many things people think. But they did not think, and they just surrendered. And they came from such rich families. They were not from ordinary families. All the dadis who came at the beginning in the yajna were from very, very rich families. But when they saw Baba, they got visions. Immediately they surrendered to Baba, not thinking of anything else. Because Baba gave them so much love. So love is like a magnet, as Baba says, which pulls the souls towards God. God is the ocean of love. So the first step is love. Then the second step is knowledge. Later on, when children went on service to establish different centers, then knowledge expanded. Yes. People began to understand the depth of knowledge. And now Baba says, you have knowledge, you have love. You have both, Baba said the other day in the Murli. In the subject of knowledge, all of you have, subject of love, all of you have passed. And the proof of that is you have come flying to Madhuban in your planes from all parts of the world, from 90 countries. Baba's children came to Madhuban to meet Bab Dada. So it's a big achievement. It's for the first time. Up to now, we have had groups coming from 60 countries, 70 countries, and it was for the first time, all records of previous times broken, 90 countries. So first time. And therefore, congratulations to all of you, because from 90 countries, Baba's children came to meet Baba. So, First comes love, then comes knowledge, and children are attracted towards Baba because of knowledge. And Baba said in the Murli that you all have the knowledge now. If somebody were to ask you, what is soul? You will give the knowledge of soul so easily, won't you? All of you can give the knowledge of soul? Yes? If somebody would ask you, who is God? You can give the knowledge of God so easily. What people find it so difficult, we find it so easy. Knowledge of the cycle, so easy. Knowledge of karma, so easy. So, the spiritual knowledge is so easy because Baba has made it very easy for us. Like the parents make everything easy for the children. When a child is small, the mother will not give very hard food to the child to eat because the child cannot digest. So what will the mother do? She softens the food. Makes it very, very soft because the child doesn't have teeth, no? So she makes it very soft so that he can just swallow without even having to bite anything. So Baba makes the knowledge so soft, so easy for us to understand and digest what the people find in the world find it so difficult. Baba said in yesterday's Sakar Murli also, in the world they say, it is impossible to understand God. Neti, neti. We don't know, we don't know. And here we say, we know. We know who the soul is, who we know who God is. We have the complete knowledge of the cycle. And therefore, knowledge is also very easy. But what is still lacking in the children? What did Baba say? What is lacking? The experience. And what else is lacking? Power. So knowledge is easy, but power is important. And for that, we have to do a lot of yoga. Because through the yoga, the power comes. And therefore, Baba says, if that power comes, then you can become equal to the Father. So this was one very important thing in the other day's Murli. And I was thinking that, see, when Baba talks about love, through love it's so easy to renounce. When you love someone and you don't think of anything else, you just renounce for the sake of that person. Because love is paramount, love is at the top. And when that is received, other things are so temporary, so like trivial, so transitory or not at all very important. Because love is very important. Every soul is an embodiment of love. And if you give love to that person, he will come running to you without thinking of anything else. So those who surrendered at the beginning, they surrendered out of love. Of course, there are three methods for making someone surrender. No, three methods. One method is give him complete love, so much love that he doesn't think of anything else and he surrenders. The other method is you give him some temptation. See, if you surrender this, if you give up this, you will get that. So Baba uses that method also. Some children hesitate, oh, I have to surrender all the vices, I have to surrender attachment, I have to renounce all this. It's so difficult, it's very difficult. How can I give up by the vices? How can I then live in this world? But then Baba gives the temptation. The children, if you renounce the vices, then you will get the kingdom of heaven. Now what is more important, kingdom of heaven or the vices? So then children say, yes, kingdom of heaven, definitely. These vices only give sorrow. So Baba gives us the realization that these vices have led us to sorrow and Baba is giving us the kingdom of heaven. So it's like a temptation, no doubt. It's like a child has maybe a knife or a blade in his hand. And that blade is so dangerous, so harmful, it can cut his fingers, it can cut his hand. But then he doesn't want to give up because he thinks he likes it. But then the mother is concerned. She'll say, oh, this child will injure his hand with that blade or that knife. And the mother wants to take it from him because she knows it is harmful for the child. But the child doesn't think that it is harmful. So the mother first of all gives lots of love and says, child, give it up. Give it up. And she gives so much love that the child forgets that and just hugs the mother, and he easily gives up that thing which the mother wants him to give up. But if the child doesn't understand that love, then the mother will tempt the child. The mother will say, see child, see this thing is much better than that. If you want this, but then you'll have to give up that. And the child then thinks, oh, is that good or is this one good? And then it realizes, yes, what the mother is giving me is better. And then it throws away what it already has in his hand. So Baba also tempts us. Children think it difficult to renounce the vices. But then Baba says, see, if you renounce the vices, you will get heaven. And if you don't, then how can you get the heavenly kingdom? How can you get the peace and happiness and bliss of golden age? So you have to give up this. And children understand, yes, it should be easy for me to give up because I'm getting something much greater than what I have. So it's easy to renounce. And the third step is sometimes the temptation also doesn't work, you know. Because the attachment to that what I possess is so much that the temptation doesn't work. Then the third method is adopted. Which is the third method? What will the mother do? First is love. Second is temptation. Third is? Which is the third one? Which is the third one? Yes? Pardon? Force. Baba won't use force. Baba is so sweet, so loving. He won't use force. But he uses the method of frightening the child. You know what a mother will do? She'll frighten the child. See, give it up, otherwise, you know, the devil will come, otherwise the dog will come, or, you know, the crow will come. You know, something. She will frighten him. And the child gets frightened and gives it up because it's frightened. So Baba also does frighten, doesn't he? How does he frighten? How does he frighten us? Some children say, oh, Baba frightens us a lot by telling us about destruction. Children, everything is going to be destroyed. This is all going to be finished. Or if you do not give it up, then you will face Dharamraj. There will be punishment of Dharamraj. So children are afraid, oh, we don't want punishment of Dharamraj. So what we do? We give up the vices easily. Because if we do not give up the vices, if we do not purify ourselves, then we will be punished by Dharamraj. So nobody wants punishment of Dharamraj. And therefore we say, okay Baba, we surrender, we sacrifice, we give up the vices. So Baba uses all these three methods. And even at the beginning, right from the beginning, Baba used all the three methods. At the beginning of the yajna, Baba gave so much love, so that was one method. And then Baba gave them the visions of heaven, golden age. And for 14 years, how they spent those 14 years, they used to get visions. And they used to come and act on the basis of those visions, you know, have dramas and plays, and that's how they spend their 14 years and did tapasya, because they used to get the visions how we are going to become Lakshmi Narayan, how we are going to become world sovereigns. So they were so intoxicated of the future attainments. And therefore they forgot the world completely. And they also used to get visions of Dharamrajpuri. Many sisters would go into trance and see visions of how people are being punished by Dharamraj. And some of the sisters, when they would go into trance, they would see that punishment taking place, or they themselves being punished. And in that trance state, they used to, you know, shout and scream and cry out, "Oh, God, enough, enough, enough. I promise I will not do it again. I promise." So those who would look at those sisters in trance, you know, crying out like that or shouting, the sisters, the others would get so afraid. "Oh, she or he is seeing in visions the court of Dharamraj and is being punished for the sinful actions." And this is how they give up their weaknesses so easily. So at the beginning, all these three ways were experienced by the children. So right from the beginning, Baba has been using these three methods. You will notice in every Murli, all the three methods are used by Baba. With so much love, Baba tells his children, "Children, remember me. Children, remember me. Remember me." So this is out of love. This is his love. Baba so often says, when children labor, Baba just can't bear it. This is also his love. It's, you know, and that's what Baba says, if you really make efforts out of love, you will not feel the labor. But if you make efforts without that love, then you will feel the labor. I give you a very small example. There's a little story about it. The story of Vivekananda. You know, Vivekananda was a big guru of India. So he was a big saint, a sage. Very, very learned, very big scholar too. And he has written in his biography that how he learnt a very big lesson. One day he was just climbing a hill. That hill was quite steep. And he was panting, you know. Like when you climb up Om Shanti Bhavan, you feel like, you know, like you breathe heavily sometimes. So he was breathing heavily because it was a steep hill. And he saw a woman carrying a very fat child, you know, against her waist. And the child was quite heavy, and she was climbing that steep hill, and she was panting like. And Vivekananda himself was, so she must have been more. And Vivekananda felt very sorry for that woman, and he told her, "Well, madam, why don't you put the child down and make him walk? Then you won't pant so much." And he used the word, "Why are you carrying this burden with you? Let the child walk." Because the child was strong, he could walk. "Why are you carrying this burden with, you know, on you? Put it down." He used the word burden. And that lady looked at him. "What?" she said. "You call him burden? He's my child. He's my child." So, And Vivekananda thought he was a burden. But she didn't feel it was a burden because of the love for the child. So this is what Baba says, when there is love, there is no labor. But when there is no love, then there is labor. For Vivekananda it was like labor, and for the mother it was easy because of the love for the child. So Baba too says, And in his biography he has written that from that day onwards, he learnt such a big lesson that nothing is difficult in this world if it is done with love. Just like, you know, even difficult things, but if you have interest, then it's so easy, it becomes easy because there's interest. Any hobby, any act, if done with interest, done with love, then becomes easy. But if you do not have interest, you are not at all, you know, wanting to know about it, that even if it is easy, you will find it difficult because there's no interest, there is no love. So for anything to do, what is important first of all? The interest, the love. And that's why Baba says, why is the mind so much in the world? Because of interest, because of love for the world, love for the worldly things. So Baba changes that love and interest towards worldly things into towards God, towards Baba. And once that interest and love is diverted, then automatically everything becomes easy. So what was considered to be very difficult before becomes easy. People say that, oh, it's so difficult to give up anger, so difficult to give up smoking, so difficult to give up drinking, you know. People find it difficult because they are so used to it. But when we came to Baba, how difficult was it to give up all that? Was it difficult? Was it? No, not at all. It became so easy that many of the Brahmins say we have even forgotten. There was one sister when she came to the center for the first time. She is now a very, very pakka Brahma Kumari, a very good teacher. I won't mention her name. But then she was sharing her experience that she used to drink, she used to smoke, all the bad habits she had. And when she came for the first time to the center, she liked it very much. And she said, I want to practice this. But then the senior teacher who was giving her the lesson, she said, well, if you want to continue, you'll have to give this up. And she said, okay, I'll give it up immediately, because her interest and love for this was already there, but she did not know how to do it. And when she came to Baba, she felt this was it. This is what she was looking for. And in one day she could give up. And today she is such a big teacher. So one day Daddy was telling her that what you were when you came the first day. And she said, Daddy, that was her old life. Past birth, completely forgotten. So as we have got a new birth, the past birth is completely forgotten. So what we must have been before we came to Baba. Very many children, after coming to Baba, they start remembering the past. Oh, I was so bad, I was this, I was this, I was this. Baba says, don't remember. See in the future. Don't look sideways and don't look backwards. Just look in the front. To look sideways means to look at others. And to look behind means to look at your past. So neither look at your past nor look at others, but just see in the front. And who is in the front? It's Baba and our aim and objective. That's all. So this is why Baba says it should become easy. And Baba has so much love for us that he cannot bear seeing us doing labor. Like that mother, she took up all the pain and the panting and, you know, all that. But she did not want the child to climb that steep hill because he was a small child. Of course, he could have walked. But she felt it would be too much for him to walk that steep hill. So she carried him. So Baba also cannot bear seeing us laboring. And this is why Baba keeps reminding us, children don't labor. And yesterday, Dadi Janki in the class last evening in Shanti 1, the essence of the whole class was that it should become so natural, so easy, so stable. When we are laboring means it is not natural. It is not easy. It's not stable. We are not stable in it. Something which is easy and natural and you are stable in it should become like a normal thing. Very often Baba asks, what is more easy, to be silent or to come into words? Which is easier, to come into words, to speak, or to be silent? Which is easier? Which is easier? To be silent or to come into words? But sometimes people find it so difficult to be silent. Actually, to be silent should be easier. No, you don't have to think. And therefore, just be silent. To come into words, you have to think first, no? So that does need effort, no? To be silent, you don't have to think at all, so it's easier. But people say the other way. They say it is easier to talk than to be silent. Why? Because to talk and talk and talk has become so natural that silence is something difficult. So what is natural, what is normal has become abnormal. And what is abnormal has become normal today. Is it not? To be peaceful is normal. And to be angry is abnormal. But then to be peaceful has become so abnormal, you know. When somebody is in a very peaceful state, we ask him, "Oh, you're so peaceful. You look so happy." To stay happy should be normal. Why should there be a comment by anyone that, "Oh, you look so happy today"? Maybe every day he's not happy and that day he is happy. That is why the comment, "Oh, you look so happy today." On the contrary, the comment should be otherwise. When one is sad, the comment should be, "Oh, why are you so sad today?" But should there be a comment like, "Oh, why are you so happy today?" That question shouldn't arise. In golden age, will this question ever be asked to anyone? "Why are you so happy today?" Because happiness is natural. Peace is natural. Love is natural. So something which is not natural, not normal, well, that is commented upon. That's what makes news. You know, what is news in the world? When we say news, something which is not normal, that is news. If a dog bites a person, that's not news. It is a normal thing. But if a human being bites a dog, then that becomes news. Isn't it? That is why all the abnormal things become news in the newspapers. That's not normal. So we understand that making efforts should become so natural because we are doing it out of love for Baba. But sometimes if the love is not experienced that much, okay, remember the temptation. What we are going to achieve. Even if that is not remembered, then remember, if we do not make efforts, then the punishment we will get. So be careful. So if these three things are remembered, then everything will become easy for us. But of course, the first one is the love of Baba. So this was the most important thing in the other day's Murli. That was the first paragraph of the Murli, in which Baba spoke about how much love Baba has for his children. And he cannot bear seeing the children working so hard, laboring. Waking up at Amrit Vela should be natural. Oh, you know, how we labor? "Oh, I'm feeling so sleepy. Oh, just 10 minutes more, okay, just one wing." And then you go back to sleep and instead of 10 minutes, it becomes 1 hour. So that's laboring. But natural, easy. You wake up, it's time for Amrit Vela, the first thought, "Baba, good morning, Baba," and you are wide awake. So that's natural, that is something which is which should be normal. You should not be struggling with sleep in the morning. If you are struggling with sleep, you want to wake up but you cannot wake up, that is labor. You are tempted by something to eat and you say, no, Baba has said, this is Srimat, you should not eat any impure food. But then the mouth is watering and then you are battling inside. That is labor. But if it's natural, no, this is not our food. This is not our food. We are Brahmins becoming deities. So what should be our right food? And so if I know what I have to eat, I will not battle. I have to stay simple, though I may see a lot of attraction in the world, but that's not for me. Not for me at all. I'm not, they say, there's a saying, you know, if you are not going to walk or, you know, go on a certain path, you should not even think about it. Why think about a path where you are not going to tread? You don't have to. It's a waste of time. So what is not meant for me, I should not even think about it. But if I'm thinking and then telling myself, no, 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 I should not think of this, then that is struggling. That is battling. So this is what Baba tells us, don't battle, become natural. And why it should become easy? Because whatever we are doing is not something new. We have done it before in the last kalpa. It's not new. Something which is new may seem difficult, but something which has been done before should not be found difficult. So Baba reminds us, children, you have done it in every kalpa. How many times have you done before? Can you count? Can you count how many times before? Unlimited times before. So why should it be difficult now? So this was one of the main points of the other day's Murli. The very next point was also very interesting, that how we have to become great donors. How we have to donate knowledge, virtues, powers. And there's double benefit in this. If I'm donating knowledge, virtues, powers, what double benefit will I gain? Who will answer? Huh? Yes? Matilda? Martina, huh? Yes? So the first benefit is whatever I will give, it will increase. Because, see, physical things, if you give to someone, that decreases. I have $10 with me and I give away 5. Now in my pocket, they won't multiply and become 20, will they? They will remain only as 5 because I've given away $5. But knowledge, virtues and powers, they are such treasures that the more you donate, the richer you will become in them. That is why it is said, happiness shared is happiness doubled. Peace shared is peace doubled. Knowledge shared is knowledge doubled. So any knowledge, virtue or power, when you are sharing with somebody, yours will increase. It won't decrease. Now this you can churn on how it will increase. I'll tell further. And second benefit? What is the second benefit? You will be blessed. You will be blessed, yes. I give you a very simple, very beautiful example. This is an example of Mahatma Buddha. Once Mahatma Buddha was sitting in his meditation, very peaceful, very quiet, you know, and someone came to him, it's in his book, someone came to him and just shouted at him, screamed at him, you know, abused him, and Mahatma Buddha was silent, quiet, he didn't utter a word. He didn't react. And that person went on and on and on, abusing and abusing and abusing. But no change on Buddha's face. No reaction. He was very silent. Now how long could that person go on abusing and abusing? So after hours of abuses, he stopped. And then Mahatma Buddha started speaking and told that man, well, if someone tries to give something to someone and that someone doesn't take it, so with whom will that remain? Naturally, the one who's trying to give, no? I give you something and you don't take it, so it will still be with me, you know, because you haven't taken it. And that person said, what a silly question, because he was already angry. Of course it will remain with the one who is trying to give. Then Buddha said, well, whatever you were trying to give me for 1 hour, I did not take. And immediately that person felt so embarrassed, so ashamed, that he just, you know, fell at his feet and said, sorry, please forgive me, I didn't know that you were so great. Please forgive me, you're so great. You're so great. Now, what lesson we learn from this? Buddha taught him how to tolerate, you know. So he donated him the power of tolerance. And in return, he was blessed. You are so great. So, it doesn't mean that his tolerance power became less. No, it increased further. So, Baba also says that how to donate the power of tolerance. How to donate. So, how do we donate? We give a small example. Supposing somebody is abusing me. There are different thoughts you can have at that time. The first thought could be a very, very simple, mundane thought. Instead of reacting, you can tell yourself, well, the one who sows, he reaps. As you sow, so shall you reap. If someone has done something wrong, we will reap. Why should I react? Okay, if he abused me, but did it hurt me? Where did it hurt me? It didn't hurt me anywhere. He didn't he just used words, that's all. He didn't use his hands or anything else, just words. Where did these words hurt me? Nothing. And I can just be detached. But supposing he goes on and on, now you have to use a little higher dose. Of course, the ears are not deaf. You have to use a higher dose. What is the higher dose? The lowest dose is the one who sows, he reaps. Little higher dose than this? You watch it as a drama. He is playing his role in a drama, just like you watch a film. Someone is playing the role of a devil, someone is playing the role of a comedian, someone is playing a tragic role. You just watch. You are unaffected. So whatever he is saying, whatever he is doing, you are unaffected because you are watching it as a play. You are like an observer, a spectator only. Totally unaffected. But supposing he goes on and on, further and further, he keeps abusing. Now you have to use a little higher dose. Higher dose of tolerance. What is that higher dose of tolerance? You can give knowledge to yourself. Well, some karmic account of the past, which I may not know now, that is being settled. So I'm happy that the karmic account is settling. Maybe some debts, they are being settled. And I'm happy because I'm becoming lighter, my debts are finishing. But supposing he goes on abusing, now use a higher dose. Now what's a higher dose than this? How will you leave him? You need strength for that, no? The lowest dose, as I mentioned, was as one sows, so one reaps. Little higher dose than that is you watch everything as a play, as a game. The third higher than that thought is some karmic account being settled. So maybe it's not his fault. He's settling his karma, or I'm settling my karmic account. I should not answer back because I'll create karma if I do it. Now, little higher dose than this is? Pardon? Laugh it out. But how will you laugh it out? You can't laugh it out like that. You have to create a thought in you to laugh it out. If I say he's silly, that's not, because how do I laugh it out when I say he's silly and I laugh it out? But he's not silly. He's not stupid. He's not silly. So what determined thought can you give to yourself? Now, a little higher dose than that is, check yourself. Maybe whatever he's saying is right. Maybe he's right. He is actually helping me to finish my weakness which I may have in me. Because when somebody is abusing me, he's actually telling my weakness, isn't he? You are stupid, you are foolish, you are careless, you are lazy, you know, whatever. So whatever he's saying, maybe I am that. And my ego wasn't allowing me to accept it. So let me check myself. Maybe he's right. There's a saying in Hindi, the English, the translation could be, the Hindi words are, in English you can say, the one who defames you is your friend. Ninda hamari jo kare bitra hamara so. The one who defames you is your friend. Why is he your friend? Because he's pointing out your mistake. As a friend, he's telling you that you need to change. There's also a very interesting saying, someone told God, God, take care of my friends and I will take care of my enemies. Very beautiful saying. Take care of my friends and I will take care of my enemies. What did he mean by that? Because someone who calls him to be your friend, you know, he is not really your friend. Maybe in front of you he is only praising you. Oh, you are so good, you are this, you are that, you know, praising you. But behind your back he may be speaking all ill things about you. So he is not really your true friend. But the one who is speaking ill to you, about you, he is your real friend because he is telling you to change. And therefore, God, take care of my friends, those who praise me in front of me, but who knows what they do behind my back. I will take care of my enemies, means those who are insulting me, abusing me, well, I should know how to behave with them. Maybe I need to change, maybe I need to ignore, maybe I need to answer back, so I should know what I have to do, but those who are my friends, who are praising me, but in abusing me behind my back, they are worse than those who insult me in front of me. So if somebody is abusing you, somebody is saying anything which you don't like, which is not according to your liking, maybe he's right. That's why Baba uses the two words abhiman and apman. Abhiman means ego and apman means insult. The one who has ego cannot bear any insult. But the one who has no ego, he will not mind the insult because he knows who he is. So that person who insulted me is my friend and he wants me to change. And I look at myself and maybe I'm at wrong. But supposing you look at yourself and you feel that I'm not really wrong. Whatever he's saying, it is actually his jealousy. He's jealous. That is why he's behaving like that with me. So if he's jealous, then it is his karma. Actually, that person is very weak. That person needs strength. If he was really spiritually strong, he would not have got jealous. He would not have said all that to me. So I maintain my self-respect, I know what I am, and I feel sorry for that person. Supposing you're walking on the street and there is a drunk man, you know, walking, on the street too, and he's drunk. He's not in his consciousness. And in that drunk state, he's abusing you. Oh, you know, he starts abusing, walking like this, unable to control himself, and he's abusing you. What will be your reaction? What will be your reaction? Poor thing. Don't you feel sorry for that person? Don't you pity him? Don't you? Or you go and fight with him? Feel sorry. Because he's not in his right state of consciousness. And then you're easily let go because you know what you are. You have your self-respect. And you feel sorry for that person. So, Baba says, if at that time you maintain your self-respect and you feel sorry for that soul because that soul is weak, it doesn't understand, it doesn't realize. So I have to give what I have. I have peace in me, I have love in me, I have bliss in me, I have knowledge in me. So whatever is needed at that moment, this is what I have to give. That's why we give this example in the eight powers, the example of a boy throwing a stone at a mango tree, and the mango tree in return giving a mango. So what does this mean? The mango tree has mangoes, and that boy only has stones. So that boy will give stones. But the tree will give mango because that's what the tree has. So who am I? I am a peaceful soul. I am a loving soul. I am a blissful soul. Therefore I have peace, love, bliss in me. That's what I share with others. And how do I share that with others? Through my thoughts. I tell myself I am a peaceful soul. This one is also a peaceful soul. So this is sharing my peace with that one, with the help of good wishes. Maybe even through words, I can tell him, you are a peaceful soul. And my peace vibrations will give him the peace. Or, because I'm having thoughts of peace within me, my face will reflect the peace. And that will make him peaceful automatically. And then he will surely bless me. He'll say, oh, I felt so much peace being in your presence. And not only that, Baba said in the other day's Murli, that the other benefit is that you'll become free from obstacles. That was one thing. It will be accumulated. And the second, you will become free from obstacles. Because supposing someone abuses me and 2 words and I say 4 and he gives 8 and I give 16 and he gives 32, you know. Sometimes, you know, in mathematics we learn permutations and combinations. One permutation combination is the arithmetical progression. Plus, he abuses me for more 2 words, I abuse him 4. Then he gives 6 and I give 8 and so on, or 4 and 4, 8. And then I give 16 and then 16 plus. But the other is geometrical progression, where it is multiples. 2 into 2 is 4 and 4 into 4 is 16. 16 into 16, you know, the square of it. And what will happen, the result? The result will turn into maybe someone just abused me and I may take a gun and shoot him and kill him. He just abused me. And what will be the result of that? I give a very, big example. When I was in school, I had a friend, a very good friend. She was very sweet. We were very good friends. And why I give this example? Because it could be a simple example for others, but then for me, it has a great impact. Why? Because she was my very good friend, and her father had a shop. He was a very rich man, and he had a big shop, and that was very close to my house, his shop. And a very wealthy person. But one day what happened was that during those days in India, I was in school at that time, in those days the currency of India was changing, because during the British period the currency was paisa, annas and rupees. So 4 paisa in 1 anna and 16 annas in 1 rupee. And then after that, when Indian government came, and then the currency changed into 100 paisa and 1 rupee, like that. So 2 annas was 12 paisa and 4 annas was 25 paisa. You understand the currency? So both the currencies were running together. You could buy a thing for 2 annas or you could buy for 12 paisa. So someone came to his shop. It was very cheap, you know, things were very cheap at that time. Someone came to his shop and bought something for, he gave 25 paisa and he bought us something for 12 paisa. And he said, give me 13 paisa back. And the shopkeeper told him, my friend's father, no, you have taken something for 2 annas and you gave 4 annas, so I give you 12 paisa back. And the customer said, give me 13 paisa back. He said, no, you have 2 and 2, 2 anna, 2 anna. So there's always 1 paisa difference, you know, 25 paisa and 12 paisa. And this row went on, and that shopkeeper, my friend's father, he got so angry, he took here a dagger and he just killed him on the spot. That person died. And the next morning it came in the newspaper, 1 paisa murder. 1 paisa murder. Well, people must have read in the newspaper and forgotten about him. But why I remember still, because I saw after that my friend's father's condition. Well, naturally he was put into prison, and there after that his house, his shop, his other factories or whatever he had, all taken away by the government, and ultimately he became drunk and then he died in the prison. Everything of his was lost just for that 1 paisa. Can you imagine? If he would have just given that 1 paisa, in what way would he have lost? But no, why should I give him? Ego. And the result was, he lost his life, he lost all his wealth, he lost his prestige, his value, everything. And today I meet that friend of mine. You know, I meet her sometimes. Of course, she is married, a grandmother also. But then she says, oh sister, you have made your life so much. Because at the time I was in Gyan. I just come to Gyan. And she did not like that Baba's knowledge. She used to tease me. I used to say, never mind. When I was in school, those girls, my friends in school, they used to say, you are Mirabai, Mira, like a sannyasi. I used to say, never mind. You know, they used to tease me. Because they would go to movies, I would not go. They would go to cafes and restaurants, I would not go. I would be in simple dress. So they used to tease me in school and college. But I did not mind. And today, Those friends, they come to me, they come to the center also, and they ask for me. So they say, oh, our friend has become so great, and where we are lost in the world. So they say, really, you have made your life, which we did not. But that time they teased me. But I didn't tease them back. I used to feel sorry for them. And now they have realized. So what I'm trying to say is that, when you are donating your power of tolerance, you are benefiting in a double way. You get back, the return comes, your power inside increases. And secondly, you are free from obstacles. So Baba says that you have to gain double benefit. So in this way, accumulation takes place. So we can churn on this, how to donate. Not just knowledge, but donate virtues, donate powers to souls through our thoughts, our words, our actions, and relationships, contacts, whatever Baba mentioned in the Murli. and we get double benefit. And then of course, Baba said, now the too late board hasn't been put up. So many were questioning me, what does Baba mean by that? What does Baba mean by too late board? And what does Baba mean by late board? When was the late board put up? Someone asked me. I remember when Mama left the body, at that time Sakar Baba spoke one murli, in which Baba said that the first bugle has blown. You know, Baba used the word bugle. Bugle, he said? You blow the bugle. And there will be two more bugles. The first bugle has blown. Mama left the body. So after Mama left the body, Baba revealed that now the advance party has started. And Mama will be the leader of the advance party. And these advance party souls will survive at the time of destruction, and how they will give birth to deity souls. So they will be in the transition period, at the end of Iron Age and the beginning of Golden Age. And then when Brahma Baba became Avyakt, Baba said the second bugle has blown. That means the late board has been put up. So when Baba left his body, that was the time for the late board to be put up. Because those who came after Brahma Baba left the body did not meet Baba in Sakar, in the corporeal form, late. You know, there were many children who came in Gyan in 1967, 68, but they did not come to Madhuvan. They were in their own towns, in their own places, because they could meet Baba only in Madhuvan, no? And all of a sudden they got the news, Baba has become Avyakt. That means they can't meet Baba anymore. And they were in Gyan in 67, 68. But had they come to Madhuvan, they would have met Baba. So Baba told them, yes, the late board has been put up. Baba used the word, the second bugle is blown. And now the late board is up, but the too late board is not up yet. What does that mean? What will be the too late board? Huh? Yes? When? When? No. Dadi, her role is different. But which will be the late board, too late board? When Baba meets the new ones, the first timers, Baba calls them, you are very fortunate. You know, Baba always tells the first timers, you are still very fortunate. The too late board hasn't been put up yet. So too late board means when Avyakt Bap Dada's part will also finish. That will be the too late. You know, too late means nothing, finish. All signs closed. Now at least we are getting sustenance from Avyakt Bap Dada. Baba is sitting for hours, though not that long as Baba used to sit before Avyakt Bap Dada. Before, I remember all records broken when Shiv Baba came in, Bap Dada came in the body of Gulzar Dadi, and Baba was with the children for 16 hours. That was the longest time. At 6:30, Gulzar Dadi sat and meditation started, and she went into trance, and Bap Dada came, and Bap Dada continued to be with the children up to 10:30 in the morning. Can you imagine? Last night, 2 days before, it was nearly 11:45. When did Baba leave? Nearly 11:45. So 16 hours sitting in one place from 6:30 in the evening until next day 10:30. How many hours? 16 hours. And during those 16 hours, all those who had heard the murli, they rested, Then morning they had a shower, breakfast, you know, everything. And here Baba was still meeting the children. That was the last time when Baba met individuals. That was, I think, 1989 or 87, I don't remember. But 89 probably. So the last year when Baba met everyone individually. And Baba said in that season that from now onwards, after this, the method will change. Because children are growing in number, expansion is taking place, and therefore the method of meeting will change. But still you were very fortunate indeed that double foreigners could get a chance to come on the stage and take drishti. And Indian Bharatvasis don't get this chance. They don't. You are still very fortunate. Because there are so many. What if 20,000 people come and they all are invited on the stage? How many hours it will take? You were only 2,000. And still it took over 1 hour. Over 1 hour. Even if we give 2 seconds to each one, how long will it be? So 20,000 means how many hours? So before Baba used to speak to individuals after the Murli. Then that method finished and then Baba started inviting small groups, means every center on the stage, and Baba would give them drishti, a blessing, you know, to that group. And the toli to everybody. And after that, that method changed. Then it became like city-wise or town-wise. Many centers in one city. Then after that became region-wise. And then, of course, every country, you know, so it changed gradually. Changed and changed and changed. And now we are seeing the big change. Everything in one murli. And if this method also changes, you can expect what will happen. I remember once Baba said in one Avyakta Murli that at least now you have a bed to rest. You can sleep, you eat, you know, everything is still very comfortable. But a time will come when all these comforts will not be available. You'll have to sleep on your suitcase. You might have, because double foreigners bring big, big suitcases, so time may come when you may have to sleep on your suitcase and you may have to use your handbag as your pillow and the sky may be your bed sheet, you know, or your quilt, whatever. You know, Baba said very lovely rhyming words, because there'll be so many and you know how it will work out. So it's you can just imagine. But then even that time will come. And then the two-layered board, means Bhaktada's part, will also finish. And that will be the end. Time to return. Time to go home. And time for Sri Krishna to be born. Time for Satyug to come. And at that time will be the upheavals too in the world. And that's what Baba said that day in the Murli, that you should be able to experience in 1 second. You won't get time. Like Baba gives the example of the power brake. You know, nowadays in every car there's a power brake. Before they used to apply a brake, maybe the brake was applied here and it would work maybe after a few seconds. The car would go a little further and stop maybe, you know, 1 or 2 feet ahead. But power brake means at that very point the car stops immediately. So that should be our experience. In 1 second I should be able to stabilize myself. Not even 1 second, at that very moment. But for that, we need a long time practice. A long time practice. I sometimes share my experience that once we were in a car and there was a very big accident, but how Baba saved us. Someone just came. I was sitting behind. We were 6 of us in the car, 3 in the front and 3 behind. It was a big car. And the driver didn't see, and just somebody came, you know, and the driver tried to give a break. He did give a break. And I remember that how at that very moment, he tried to turn, use his wheel, so that he could save that person who came in front of him. But somehow, the car hit that person, and that person fell down. And the driver tried to turn the car, and there was a very big pillar. The car could have hit the pillar, and there was a very big pit. The car could have gone into that pit. But somehow, as the car moved, maybe the axle broke, or the brake broke. Something happened. There's a big thud, a big sound. And at that moment, I told Baba, I'm coming to you. This was my thought, and I became totally bodiless at that very instant. I felt my heart had stopped. I don't know what was the experience of the others, but at least what my experience was. And then the car stopped. Because I'd seen a little bit, just a few seconds before, a big heavy pit, you know, we were just climbing the mountain. And there was a big pillar, maybe could have dashed against that or just fell in a big pit. But after a few seconds, the car stopped. And my heart started beating again. And I looked up, I opened my eyes, I found myself alive. I found myself alive. And we were all fallen on one another, you know. The three sisters were behind, we fell on each other underneath. And the three in front, they were quite stable. But then that person who was knocked down, he was carrying something on his head. He was a tribal man from the villages. And what he had in his hand, that fell on the screen, the window screen, and that broke into pieces. But we all survived. But then, that very moment, I can say that how Baba saved us, but we were all ready. In 1 second, we just became detached. So this needs a long time practice. So let us practice it and make this experience so strong in us that we can stabilize ourselves in that powerful stage in 1 second. Om Shanti.